tonight. We're Tonight we're trying something different. I've got my womanizer on my clit right now. And I'm gonna read you a story. Tonight we're reading The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. I'm gonna start at the prologue and see how far we get, which I don't think will be very far. I think we'll be lucky if we make it halfway through the first chapter, honestly. Prologue. A silence of three parts. It was night again. The Waystone Inn lay in silence, and it was a silence of three parts. The most obvious part was a hollow, echoing quiet made by things that were lacking. If there had been a wind, it would have sighed through the trees, set the inn sign creaking on its hooks, and brushed the silence down the road like trailing autumn leaves. If there had been a crowd, even a handful of men inside the inn, they would have filled the silence with conversation and laughter. The clatter and clamor one expects from a drinking house during the dark hours of night. If there had been music. But no, of course there's no music. In fact, there were none of these things, and so the silence remained. Inside the Waystone, a pair of men huddled in one corner of the bar. They drank with quiet determination, avoiding serious discussions of troubling news. In doing this, they added a small, sullen silence to the larger, hollow one. It made an alloy of sorts, a counterpoint. The third silence was not an easy thing to notice. If you listen for an hour, you might begin to feel it. In the wooden floor underfoot, and in the rough, splintering barrels behind the bar. It was in the quiet of the black stone hearth that held the heat of a long-dead fire. It was in the slow back and forth of a white linen cloth rubbing along the grain of the bar. And it was in the hands of the man who stood there polishing a stretch of mahogany that already gleamed in the lamplight. The man had true red hair, red as flame. His eyes were dark and distant, and he moved with the subtle certainty that comes from knowing many things. The Waystone was his, just as the third silence was his. This was appropriate, as it was the greatest silence of the three, wrapping the others inside itself. It was deep and wide as autumn's ending. It was heavy as a great river, smooth stone. It was the patient cut flower sound of a man who is waiting to die. Chapter 1, A Place for Demons. It was felling night, and the usual crowd had gathered at the Waystone Inn. Fuck, I gotta move, I'm uncomfortable. Oh. Plus, I can't find the right spot. So I'm actually gonna get through this entire book if I keep it up. It was felling night, and the usual crowd had gathered at the Waystone Inn. Five wasn't much of a crowd, but five was as many as the Waystone ever saw these days, times being what they were. Old Cobb was filling his role as storyteller and advice dispensary. The men at the bar sipped their drinks and listened. In the back room, a young innkeeper stood out of sight behind the door, smiling as he listened to the details of a familiar story. When he awoke, Tiberlin the Great found himself locked in a high tower. They had taken his sword and stripped him of his tools. Key, coin, and candle were all gone. But that weren't even the worst of it, you see. Cobb paused for effect. Because the lamps on the wall were burning blue. Gramp, Jake, and Shep nodded to themselves. The three friends had grown up together, listening to Cobb's stories and ignoring his advice. Cobb peered closely at the newer, more attentive member of his small audience, the Smith's apprentice. "Do you know what that meant, boy?" Everyone called the Smith's apprentice boy, despite the fact that he was a hand taller than anyone there. Small towns being what they are, he would most likely remain boy until his... until his beard filled out or he bloodied someone's nose over the matter. The boy gave a slow nod. "The Chandrian." "That's right," Cobb said approvingly. "The Chandrian. Everyone knows that blue fire is one of their signs. Now he was..." "But how'd they find him?" the boy interrupted. "And why didn't they kill him when they had the chance?" "Hush now, you'll get all the answers before the end," Jake said. "Just let him tell it." "No need for all that, Jake," Graham said. "Boy's just curious. Drink your drink." "I drank me drink already, great," Jake grumbled. "I need another, but the innkeep's still skinning rats in the back room." "Oh, God." He raised his voice and knocked his empty mug hollowly on the top of the mahogany bar. "Oi, we're thirsty men in here." The innkeeper appeared with five bowls of stew and two warm round of loaves of bread. "Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. He pulled more beer." I had to do that a second time because the first time I sounded like I was talking through a tin can. I made it a lot further in the chapter than I did this time. That was my fifth orgasm today. I could probably go again, but... fuck. That'd be fucking intense. And I'm ready to pass out as it is. Oh. I managed to read like a whole fucking 4 or 5 more pages last time I read that. Oh. So I better probably only get like a page and a half done before I fucking explode it again. Anyway, I hope you degenerates enjoyed that. Because I sure as hell did. I will be doing it again. 10 out of 10. Would recommend trying to read a book while you build towards an excellent climax. Good night.